That's what I'm worried, just not to take.
Well, that's what they told me. I said, where's Maggie?
Well, she's in the court. She's, oh, no, they said she's training. I thought she was in here training. She must be doing the video training.
Yeah.
What are we starting with, the safety?
She's out in the lobby waiting.
Yeah, are we waiting for her? Are we gonna start with her?
Yeah, she's the only one we've got.
Well, we're calling the rest of them, right? Are they supposed to be here?
Two of them weren't dismissed, Amanda Bravo and Christopher Romero, and then the other two.
Is apparently in the lobby. Hang on. Seven, odd room. Little pun intended. We gotta go sanitize the phone. Is this Miss AG? This is George Dunstanmore, my magistrate. So we've got, the state has moved to dismiss the driving on the suspended license charge. But apparently there was a, did we charge the Fager here?
We charged it with Dunmore.
Well, we didn't charge you with a Fager.
No, we did not.
It says rule one. So, Miss AG, my clerk tells me that you don't think you should have to pay the warrant fee.
Oh, I did not say that I couldn't have to. I would like to tell you that, Your Honor, I'm in a society, I really don't have the, I can't really afford much of a, at the end of the day, in the month, but if you charge me the fee, Your Honor, I will pay it. Of course I will pay it. I'll be able to argue with you as a judge, and if not, you know, I will pay it. I think I'm
going to go for this. Miss AG, why don't you just instead explain to me your financial circumstance?
Well, I'm like a guy, I get like $750
a month, and that's my income.
Period. And my rent is mostly
650.
And,
So let's ask a different question. Miss AG. Miss AG, please.
Yes, sir.
Why didn't you come to court when you were originally given the citation?
Well, Your Honor, I do apologize for that. I do. I would say that I'm sorry.
No, I think she had to call
her. I guess, Ms. AG, my question is, did you have a telephone?
I do, but I'm really sick. I didn't make a call. I didn't think of anything other than trying to
All right, given your given your financial status, I'm going to waive the warrant fee. The charge is dismissed. You can wait at the window, and we'll give you copies of the paperwork, and you'll be excused. I hope you get well. Make her copy, and will someone give it to her, please? Thank you. Simon, I guess the other two 9 o'clock didn't show up, including Brandon Ferguson. Let's see what Mr. Ferguson is. Was there notice to the victim for today?
Yeah, sorry, let me find that out.
Someone named Miss Cadell, Alicia Cadell.
Cadell. We attempted to make contact. There's a problem with the phone number. So that's where we are with the
delivery address. He didn't show up. And I'm reticent to do anything but issue a warrant. It's a 2019 case.
Yeah, understood, driver.
Defendant not appearing. This, you know, this was his arraignment. He's never been arraigned.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. In the United States, this is a citation. He was given a date to appear.
And the pretrial server, 2XIA court, gave him a new court date of today, very generously a month away. So I suppose if he's homeless, that might explain why he's not able to get up here, but I'm just not paying that benevolent. 3.1 warrant, $24.99 cash bond only. Now, Mr. we've had this fellow before, I think it's Smalley.
Yeah.
And he sent us an email, and based on that, we continued the last one. We continued his case.
Yeah.
Now, we have a phone number on him. I'm kind of reticent to call him, too. At some point, my patience wears out, but we'll try. We'll try. 302-7969.
Oh, to receive calls at this time.
Well, that was odd. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Well, then he sent another email on August 18th with a different phone number, but it's not a complete phone number.
Just get their numbers.
Now, let's see. He gave us an incomplete phone number on his email from August 18th. It's 5 from low, and then it's 278171, and that's not enough numbers. I'm giving it to Dan that served no purpose. And then appearing. Simon, I'll dial the wrong number. Let's try again.
Okay.
808-265-3580.
It's bad,
Judge.
Okay.
We're having difficulties with that recorder, so we're back on the record now. We're moving. So you were supposed to pay money to the Hilton Health and Conquistador, and the state had agreed that they would dismiss the charge if you did it. But they still haven't been paid, from what I hear.
Yes, sir. I was able to come up with all the money all together, but, we're just gonna do that. Well, so I'm trying to figure it out, so I can keep saving for, the entire payment on my own. Right now, but I just need a little bit more time because here in August, they got to my pay, so I've been getting paid shorter than I usually do. So I just need like, maybe like, a little bit more time, just to save up a little bit more. Cause I have $13 saved right now, so I just have to.
You mean, you have 1300?
Oh yeah, 1300, I'm sorry.
Alright. Mr. Simon, what if she were to make a payment posted as a bond to the court for the $1,000 as a sign of good faith to move this forward? You have an objection to that?
No, no, that's a good idea. I think that'll help move the case forward, Your Honor.
How does that sound to you, Ms. T?
That'd be really great.
I'm trying to figure out how, you can either do this, well, what's your schedule right now? I mean, you have some time later today that you could take care of this.
I have time for right now, but I can ask them again on whatever time you guys need.
Well, we don't even know where you're stationed. Where did they send you?
California?
I
just
got
it the last
time.
I wasn't here.
Yes. Bobby,
you're
Can I call?
Do you have this money in an account where you could give us a debit card number?
Yes, I do.
So if you were to hang up and call the clerks back, they can go ahead and accept the payment on the telephone and post it as a bond. Will that work for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I tell you what, we're gonna put this off. Mr. Simon, how about another 30 days to give her time to work on the line?
Yeah, that's fair. She's making a good faith effort, so yeah, we'll keep that for me.
So, Ms. Keith, don't run off. When I hang up with you, we're going to give this file to one of the clerks at front. He's going to call you on the phone. You go ahead and make that $1,000 payment with a debit card, okay?
Yes, Your Honor. I was just wondering if I could do a little bit less than $1,000. Just because, I mean, I'm just short money right now. That's all I have, like, in gold. As in, like, all the money I have right now.
How much, Mr. Simon?
The state proposes $750.
Ms. Keith?
Could I possibly do $500 just because I'm only a private to be due in the Army? And they already did, so I can train my OES. I only got paid $300 to pass the paycheck, so I'm like really tight of money.
How about $600? Can you do $600?
Yeah.
All right. That leaves you $700 based on what you told us. Okay.
Yes,
sir.
Thank you.
That was somebody's computer.
Yeah, I'm getting messages.
77, that's Maggie.
1777?
Yeah,
I'm going to try something, folks. I'm going to try to transfer Miss Keith out to one of the clerks, okay? This is totally experimental.
Not so, we'll call them right back.
Transfer? Oh, that won't work. Miss Keith, one of our clerks is going to call you right back, okay?
Okay?
Now, we need to give you a new court date first, which is going to be...
October 26th, because it's 10 o'clock.
How about October 26th at 10 o'clock?
Yes, that'll work.
Thank you. keep saving your money. I hope the paymaster gets your money figured out, but.
Isn't there an
acronym that kind of applies, that comes out of the Army? I think it was called SNAPU.
I'm not sure.
Do you even know what that means?
No.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Sopkin does clearly. That's an expression that came out of probably World War II. The GIs in World War II came up with all sorts of acronyms that applied to the Army. But think about it. If each one of those letters applied to something, it'd be SNAFU. Figure out what it might mean. it's just typical of the Army.
Yes.
All right, October 26, 2020. Do we have an email address for you? I believe we do. Yes, ma'am, we do. It's the Connie. It's Connie P.K. at Gmail, right? All right, so we'll send you the copy of the minute entry, and we're going to have one of our clerks call you right back, okay? All right, thank you, ma'am. Have a good day.
I think I have it in time.
Here. Well, we'll do Ms. Gonzalez next because the other one's a plea, as I understand it. Oh, it's your thing, Max.
I want to
Laura Lammers, Linda Lammers. So Ms. Gonzalez had no money. Let's see how her life has changed, gotten better, gotten worse. 272-5373. Yeah. Can we post it at the bottom?
Check the post in the whole receipt now.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Mr. Sebastian.
Ms. Gonzalez, George Dunstan, while I'm magistrate, we still have Mr. Simon on the other line.
Okay, that's good.
So, what's going on with you this week?
Okay. Oh, man. Well,
I honestly
just had to break. That interview that I had a couple months back, I didn't get that. I don't know why. What's going on with that? I've applied at every other place. I haven't had any luck. My unemployment never went through because since I was in sales and I need a salary and commission, they are not doing an employment for people that need commission as well. So I didn't make enough to qualify for unemployment. So I've been kind of struggling. And right now I even have honestly, for my rent, I have, and I can send all you this, but I can go to the library and show you as well, but I have a 5-day notice that I'm not able to pay my rent until the 20th. So even my rent is late right now, and kind of dealing with family stuff too. My grandpa has lung cancer, so I've been out there taking care of my grandma because he's in the hospital. So I'm just like, and I hate this because you've given me so much time, but it has been really hard, honestly, to get anything done. Just these past couple of months, everything has just been really, really difficult, and the classes, you have to make an appointment to go to school and be able to do one class, since they open back up, and I just need a little bit more time, if possible. I can fax you or email you kind of the hardships that I'm still experiencing. But I'm still trying. I haven't given up. I'm still trying to get a job. I've been applying, but I've been getting rejected. I don't know why. That's kind of possibly what's going on right now.
No? Okay.
promise, I'm really trying with a few months. But I'm not having any luck with literally anything.
What was it you were in sales? What were you trying to sell? I mean, I know.
Well, I was doing custom-built manufactured homes.
Oh, Lord.
It was a really good job, but they got new management, and it cleared. It was just me, the project coordinator, and the general manager, and they fired the general manager, got a new guy, and he came in and just changed everything. So he fired me. And the project coordinator's still there, but he got a whole new team when he came in.
Yeah.
I've been there, you know, for almost a year, and that kind of job takes at least, you know, a year to start making money, and then finally starting to make money, and doing really good, really happy, but the new guy that came in just wanted a new team.
Sales is a pretty cutthroat business.
Yeah, it is. You know, I've been car sales before that. It's been a little bit slower sales. And then, you know, then I got into this, and then I had to get my sales license. I mean, it took me a lot to get this job. I was really hard to get it. And I, but finally, you know, after about 6 months, 7 months, I was finally starting, you know, to make money and to do, to feel a lot better. But like I said, they got a new management team, and it just... The guy was kind of, you know, older and kind of more old school, so you could tell it was because of my age. He wasn't, you know, he was one more of an older team and stuff, but...
The market for those is probably to older people.
Yeah, well, our customer team is mainly in California because that's where the factories, that's where they're built, is out in Riverside. And I mean, they're great homes. I mean, they're not like the mobile homes anymore. You know, they're manufactured homes. And, I mean, you can get one under $100,000, you know, if you have your own land and stuff. But it was, our customer base was people that had cash and are willing to buy.
Well, December 8th.
It wasn't, you know, really with financing and all that. And so that's what they were pushing more towards is our customers and our cash customers paying cash, you know, customers only, and,
right, they're older people who are relocating from somewhere else, and there ought to be a really big demand for those in California in the upcoming months, given the number of homes that have been destroyed.
Yeah, definitely. And down there, they got sprinklers in the houses, and they got to have stock in there. They have to have so many requirements to have these manufactured homes down there. But I guarantee you, it is booming for For those homes right now, that's one of the things I tried to get back into, you know, because there's a couple places here in Tucson that, you know, have manufacturing homes, but Delta, among my friends, I have not had any luck, and I don't understand why. Well, I really like this, you know, I mean, it takes a while to start, and I mean, it takes you, and you know, and you work hard doing it, and it's really impressive. But unfortunately, okay, well, I'm sure sorry to hear that things aren't going that well for you.
You might want to consider some other line of work. I mean,
I'm trying. I'll even send you emails. I mean, I've tried working from remote, you know, from home. I have money, but I have credentials, I mean, I have sales experience, I've worked for them 16 years old, I've never not had a job, and I have qualifications, but I'm not having any luck. I'm really not, I get, you know, emails saying that they, you know, they found candidates that meet their requirements more. I even Amazon's hiring right now, so I'm sure putting an application for them. Yesterday, I was actually having really difficult times because it kept saying that I needed to finish my application because everything's online now. That's another thing that's kind of iffy. Everything's online, so you don't really get to show your face, you know, and try to get a chance by going in person to get these jobs. So online is helping me that I need to finish my application. And I try to go on there and it says all of the shifts have been covered, that, you know, all of the positions have been filled. And I was crying because I was really trying to get that one. that's $15 an hour, regardless, you know. What we're being asked for hourly. And then I even went on yesterday, searching really hard on budget fees and all that, and I decided to go on KOLD13.com because they have job listings on there. And even the job listings on there, they're all filled, so like, these places would need to update their systems on, you know, who's still hiring and stuff. But I really kind of judge it from it. You know, I my mom has cancer, my grandpa has lung cancer, and then my dad, I mean, he's in Carson, but he got COVID, so it's like it's been an emotional roller coaster as well.
All right, well, Ms. Gonzalez, what we're going to do is we're going to treat this as a defense motion to continue to December the 8th at 10 o'clock. In the meantime, all I can do is wish you luck, and we'll send you a pamphlet with some resource information on it.
Okay.
All right.
Can you send me, if you want, I can talk to you, like my 5-day notice and stuff, kind of showing the hardship and the most good understanding.
Ms. Gonzalez, I'm not doubting you, okay? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right.
December 8th at 10 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, all right. Thank you so much.
Number 77.
Hang on a second. Are you still on the, you couldn't be North Prince.
East Prince.
Prince is east and west. That's why I said it couldn't be North.
Number 77.
77?
Yes, sir. All right. Very good. Let us know if that changes.
All right. Thank you so much, Judge. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
You take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Melissa Simon, that may have been more than you wanted to hear. Yeah, it's smooth as
that. It was more than
I wouldn't wish her life on a monkey on a rock.
Yeah, it sounds like she has a good attitude, though.
She's
up. You can tell
she's a sales rep. I know. She's just awesome at sales, but there's nothing to sell anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we're going to call Liz Ginsbach.
I think I've got everything.
Okay, 702-994-0931.
Hello?
Is this Cameron Ginsbach?
Yeah.
This is George Sensenmore, magistrate. You're on the line with the court and Mr. Simon, prosecutor. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, so far, so good. Hang on one second. So, I have a plea agreement that ends that indicates that at this time you're entering a plea without contest with charge of disorderly conduct, the state's dropping the domestic violence allegation, and dismissing the assault charge, will be sentenced to 180 days in jail, 178 suspended credits for 2 days' time. Sir, you posted 12 months of unsupervised probation or to violate the local, state, or federal law if one consumer possessed alcohol or beverages during the probationary period. And again, the state's requiring a substance use evaluation. Are you in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Okay. So, is that your... Did that counselor give you a copy of the evaluation?
He didn't give me a full copy. He probably gave me
Yeah, I'm afraid we probably do, but Nancy, I hate for me to do this, but we don't have any space. And I need to give her other instructions. I need to be able to tell that she has to sign an ROI and request that they send it to us, but I don't have the space to do that.
I'm asking you.
So I need another money entry.
Page two.
Well.
I can go on the.
Start over and page one. Where was I?
What do you want me to move out?
Don't put anything at the bottom. I'll write it all.
Okay.
No, let me see real quick. Just strike two. I think. Sorry about that. Judge, how are you?
How are you doing?
We're good. Okay, so Ms. Kat, you're in the office. Was that your understanding of the plea? Because I read it to you, and you went over this before you signed it. I believe you understand the terms and consequences of the plea agreement. I'm filling out some paper. Hang on. We'll get there.
Okay. No worries.
So, I also have here a number of other documents that you have signed. One of them is entitled an out-of-state guilty plea proceeding. And there appears to be a fingerprint on here that was witnessed by a police sergeant in Grand Chute, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Okay. And is that your fingerprint that appears on that form?
My fingerprint, yes.
And you read this entire form before you signed it?
Yes.
Do you understand that it's unlawful in Arizona to disturb the peace of any person or neighborhood with the knowledge of or intention of doing so? Mr. Simon, we got a little bit of a problem with the plea agreement.
Judge?
You have a pleading to a violation of ARS 28-2904. And I have no idea what that is. I think you meant 13-2904A1.
Yes, 13, I'm sorry. Chapter 13, or Title 13, I apologize. I'm mixing up the DUI statutes with the disorderly conduct statutes.
Do I have your permission, Mr. Simon, to simply cross that out, write the correct statute number underneath it?
Yes, please, sir.
Okay, Ms. Ginsbach, do I have your permission to amend the minute entry or the plea agreement to show the correct offense?
Yes, thank you.
Another note, I'm sorry. Okay. So, Ms. Ginsbach, do you understand it's a class 1 misdemeanor with a possible maximum penalty of 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges, and no minimum mandatory penalty?
Yes.
Are you on parole or probation out of any other court?
No.
Do you understand? Okay, I also have I have another document called Waiver of Immigration Admonition. Okay, it's not signed. If you're not a citizen of the United States, pleading guilty to no contest or crime in effect for immigration status, and then the guilt can result in deportation, even if the charge is later dismissed, the plea admission of guilt can result in the deportation or removal. To prevent you from ever being able to legal status in the United States, or to prevent you from becoming a United States citizen. You understand you're not compelled to accept this plea. You have every right to continue with or enter a plea of not guilty and set your case for trial. It'll be a trial to the court, to a judge. At that trial, you've got a number of other rights. You have the right to have an attorney represent you. Doesn't necessarily be court-appointed counsel. That decision would be based on the possible maximum penalty you're facing and the your financial status. You would have had the right to probably be presumed innocent and to remain silent with the state, meaning Mr. Simon would have had to prove you were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. The evidence he won't produce. He could not have called you to testify against yourself, and you could not have been compelled to present any evidence proving you were guilty. At your trial, you would have had the right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses. That means ask them questions, see if they're telling the truth. And the right to present your own evidence and your own witnesses. And if you had witnesses who could not or would not appear voluntarily, the right to compel them to attend the trial using subpoenas issued by the court at no cost to yourself. Do you understand those trial rights?
Yes, I understand.
Do you understand you waive or give up those trial rights by entering the plea?
Yes.
You also understand you're giving up the right to any direct appeal?
Yes.
And that your only recourse beyond today's proceedings is a petition for post-conviction relief under Rule 32. I know you don't understand that. It's a criminal rule that allows people who have entered into plea agreements with the state to challenge their convictions under those plea agreements based on the constitutional infirmities that may have been involved in this process or on later discovered evidence. Did anyone promise you anything not contained in the plea agreement to get you to change your plea?
No.
Did they force you to threaten you in any way to get you to change your plea?
No.
Are you doing it voluntarily of your own free will?
Yeah.
Mr. Simon, who was the victim and was there notice?
The victim was Olivia Ginsbach, and notice was mailed on September 3rd.
And the victim has not contacted you and is not present?
Yeah, we haven't received any contact.
Okay. Factual basis, please.
Yes. On May 23rd, year 2020, at approximately 5:12 in the evening, the police responded to the parking lot at 7355 North Oracle Road, within the town of Boro Valley. At that location, it was discovered that Ms. Kim Fox appeared to be intoxicated, or the state believed she had been drinking. Something happened where she was in a vehicle in the parking lot with some other lady, and there was some type of disagreement, and due to her, she was upset, and she started hitting Olivia, and then when the police noticed that, started hitting Olivia numerous times, and there was other ladies in the car that told the police officer that.
So, Ms. Ginsbach, is that relatively accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
You must have been pretty upset. Who's Olivia?
She's my younger sister.
You know, just because you're the older sister doesn't mean you get to beat up on your younger sister.
Yeah, I know.
All right, I'll find you an interview agreement and only voluntarily intelligently under both the force, threats, or promises other than those contained in the written plea. I'll accept the plea and proceed according to the terms of the plea agreement. Find you guilty of the disorderly conduct, place you on 12 months on supervised probation, or violating a local, state, or federal law, or to pay $500 in fines and surcharges, $300 of which is suspended, leaving a balance of $200 on the fines and surcharges, plus a $20 time payment fee and a $25 court security fee, for a grand total of $245. And I understand you've requested a payment plan. So, you make about $2,000 a month, and you seem to have expenses of about $1,600 plus. How much do you think you could pay towards this $245 every month?
I don't Can I go to the chief?
What day, when do you want to make the payments? Beginning of the month or the middle of the month?
In the middle of the month.
Can you make the payment today on the phone or? Would you rather, or you,
my wallet.
Or do you want to put it next month?
Can we put it next month, please?
October 16th?
Sure, thank you.
We're gonna put a phone number and a web address on here that you can make those payments online or on the phone. There's a fee that goes along with it, but it's not a lot. The other alternative is you can buy a money order or send a check to the address at the top of the form. Don't forget to include your court citation, okay?
Okay.
Send you to 180 days in jail, suspend 178, give you credit for 2 days time served, dismiss the assault charge. Or do not possess, consume alcohol, violate no local, state, or federal law. I'm going to order that. I'm going to order you to sign. We're referring to it as an ROI. That means release of information, but the service provider will know what that is. To sign the release of information and ask them to please send us the results of the evaluation, okay? So I can look at it and at least have it in the file. In the meantime, what is it that they told you that they thought you should be engaged in terms of counseling?
They wanted to start off with an appointment every 2 weeks for 3 months.
So you're having in-person counseling every other week, and they think that ought to go on for 8 weeks?
Yeah. I've had 3 appointments so far.
So I'm just going to order that you're ordered to complete the recommended counseling. Are they going to give you a certificate or something, do you think?
I can probably ask them for some sort of a proof document and have them send that to you at the end.
That would be good, thank you. I think you should probably be able to get that done by November 30th, right?
Probably not.
Well, that gives you the entire month of October, the entire month of November, and you've already got a good start on it, and we're only halfway through September. Well, a little bit more than half, but not much. Okay?
So, I have a question about the ROI release of information. So, yes. Are you trying to send it back to me in the mail sometime?
No. You have to talk to the provider and say, I talked to the court, I need to send in proof of the evaluation. The judge told me I had to sign a release of information for you and ask you to send it to me. Send it to the court.
Okay.
That's how that should work, okay?
And then how do I get the phone number for the payments that I'm going to make every month?
Well, what's going to happen is, do we have an email address for you?
Yeah, it would be Cameron Funnel's email.
Hang on. Yes, ma'am, we have it. We've got an email from you that Mr. Simon sent you that's got that on it, so I'm assuming you got it. Okay? All right, now, so when you get that, there's going to be copies of a number of court documents, and on one of them, make a photocopy, just go ahead and stick the payment sticker right here.
Okay.
And you make the photocopy.
Right.
So the black and white will be much better to pass anything. And it's just be a phone number and a web address, okay?
Okay.
Now, at the end of the 12 months of probation, you have the right to file an application to set aside the judgment. To do so, you have to file a written form. You can go to the Oregon Magistrate Court website. There's a list of forms from the Supreme Court. You can click on that, download the form, print it out, fill it out, file it. If it's granted, it shows a dismissal on your record. If it's denied, it will show. There will be a box check explaining why, okay?
Okay, and what's the end date of probation?
September the 15th of 2021.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Nancy will have to dispatch these two because there's no copies. But you were just going to scan them in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other questions, Ms. Ginsbach?
No.
All right, then. We'll be sending you some stuff in the email. Make sure you talk to the provider about signing the ROI and asking them to send us the evaluation, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, good luck, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And I will be right back.
Had federal changes of plea and sentencing that have taken that are shorter than what that just was.
Okay, excellent. Sean.
Thank you, Ms. Moran.
Thank you, Judge. It was nice to see you.
Hi, Ms. Moran.
I would have maybe done the phone option other than we needed to track him down. I did. I kind of did need to see him. So that was actually good. So I'm glad he showed up. So
yeah.
Okay.
All right. See you guys later.
Bye. Be safe.
I gotta go to Superior now. I got a rain at it. 1 o'clock. Lovely.
That should be fun. Ms. Valenzuela?
Yes.
George Sanskola, the magistrate. This was the time set for the board to show cause of Mr. Craighill. Kyle Craighill.
I don't know if that matters, Judge.
And Nancy says it's possible you didn't get notice of the hearing.
Well, you can check.
Yeah, I don't think it's been called.
Well, it says, copy says, pink defendant mailed.
Yeah.
Gold attorney mailed.
Okay.
Well, Judge, yeah, then we didn't kill her. We missed it.
Okay. But the important question is, have you had any contact with Mr. Craig Jill since the middle of August?
None.
Well, he's not here.
Yep, so I guess we know what's
going to happen. Yes, you too.
Okay, I'll send
the
letter and
then another warrant. Very good, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you,
Jeff. That's it for now, Mr. Simon.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good afternoon, this is George Dunscombe, Long Island Magistrate. I understand I have Rafael Cepeda on the line.
Along
and Officer Kleinberg from the Oregon Police Department. Mr. Cepeda, this is, well, actually it's a little earlier than the time set for your civil traffic hearing, but I understand you both agreed to start early.
That is correct.
So the order presentation is going to be that the officer will proceed first with his testimony, Once he's completed his initial presentation, you have the right of cross-examination. And on a telephone like this, it's a little bit tricky, so we have to make sure that no one talks over the other person, and you let them finish their complete question or complete sentence, and then you respond to it. Mr. Cepeda, it's not required that you ask the officer questions on cross-examination, but after his initial testimony, that is your opportunity and your right to do so. Once the state's part of the case is completed, you have the opportunity to present your evidence for witnesses. When you finish, the officer gets to respond to anything you've added. That's called rebuttal, and you again have the right of cross-examination. And then you would have one more opportunity to respond to anything that the officer has presented. And then I'll make my decision. Do you have any questions about how we're going to proceed?
No, Your Honor.
All right, gentlemen, you both solemnly swear or affirm the testimony that you present in this manner will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes.
All right, Officer Kleinberg, you may proceed.
Thank you, Judge. Your Honor, my name is Brian Kleinberg. I'm a police officer in the state of Arizona, employed by the town of Laurel Valley. I've been a police officer for approximately 16 years. The date and time of the violation in question was on July 16th, 2020, at approximately 3:53 p.m. The location of the violation in question was Oracle Road and Bowers Court. On the citation, it's shown as FR 77, State Route 77. That location was then and is still now within the town limits of Laurel Valley. On that day, at that time, I was sitting at that location, specifically watching four speed violations. Prior to sitting at that location, I checked for proper placement of speed limit signs, and I noted that there was a 50 mile per hour posted speed limit sign on the east shoulder for northbound Oracle, and that speed limit sign is on the east shoulder again for northbound. Clearly, it was direct and visible, and it's actually located between what I would say is the north entrance exit and the south entrance exit to what is now the speedway gas station, located just north of Vicky on Oracle. So while I'm sitting there, I observed a medium-sized cab traveling north, and I specifically observed a tan pickup truck traveling north in the number one lane that appears to be traveling at a speed greater than the rest of the vehicle in the spread-out path. I visually estimated that tan pickup truck speed at 70 miles per hour, 70. I then activated the LiDAR that I'm assigned, and I received a reading of 69 miles per hour. At a distance of 859.0 feet, 859 feet. And again, the focal speed limit in the area is 50 miles per hour. Based on my visual observation and the LiDAR reading, I pulled out and conducted a traffic stop on the vehicle. I only saw one occupant in there, and that was the driver, who I'm assuming is the defendant on the phone. I can't start to identify this way. But he did identify himself with an Arizona license. He actually told me that he was running late. Or a hammer put out here to watch the video, and he said, sorry for speeding, running late. He was running late for a meeting with the director of nursing. He also later told me that he said he was coming from DM, I assume that was David Thompson, and that he was the last one to arrive to so far, and everybody was waiting on him. Based on my visual observation and the over speed limit, of other vehicles, I did proceed to identification. I also want to note at one point he told me that he was cut off by another vehicle. And while I didn't see this violation, at the time I did explain to him that it wouldn't have surprised me if somebody pulled in front of him. Because both people in traffic would assume that someone in the station was issued for the speeding over. In an effort to reduce the sanction amount, I wrote for 60 miles per hour. On the citation instead of the actual LiDAR reading that I received, which was 69 miles per hour. The citation was issued, and I have had no further contact with the defendant at this point. And Your Honor, I've been certified to use LiDAR, and I have been certified since February 1st, 2005. That day, at the shift, my LiDAR passed 2 tests, 1 to 10, to include internal function tests, heads-up side light display test, and the open distance test. Because it passed those tests, that assures me that the LiDAR unit was functioning properly along with it matching my visual observation. And Judge, I have nothing for her.
Mr. Zepay, do you have questions for the officer on cross-examination?
No, sir, do not.
Okay, Mr. Zepeda, go ahead and tell me your side of it.
Actually, I called earlier, but they told me that it was already set up. I was actually going to go ahead and just plead guilty and pay the ticket. To be honest.
Okay.
I called earlier, but they said everything was set up, and being a previous law enforcement, I work at Splendido in Oro Valley up at 13500 North Montgomery Hills Boulevard.
Okay. I understand. All right, so it's going to be the $170 and the $25 fine. I'm sorry, $25 court security fee. It's $195. Are you able to pay that out today?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to give the file to the folks outside, and you'll call them right back. They'll take the payment with a credit card. Okay.
That's perfect.
Thank you, sir. You take care.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
The civil traffic hearing in the matter of State versus Geraldine Pukovic, CC 2020000712. It's for violation of ARS 2871A, failure to reduce or control speed to avoid an accident. Ms. Perkovich, we've received several exhibits from you. Officer Ogan, Nancy attempted to send those to you. Do you have copies of those?
Yes, I received them last night.
Okay. Ms. Perkovich, the order of presentation is that the state having the burden of proof goes forward first. That means the officer will present his testimony first. After he has completed his testimony, you have the right of cross-examination. That means you may ask him any questions you have, either about his testimony or about the facts of the case. It's not mandatory that you ask him questions, but it is your opportunity and your right at that point in the hearing. Once the cross-examination has been completed, you have the opportunity or right to present evidence or witnesses on your behalf, and it would be at that point that you would introduce your exhibits.
No, just when I get to my part, I might not understand what you said, but I think I do.
Okay. Now I'm going to swear you both in. You both solemnly swear affirm the testimony that you present in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
I do.
All right. Officer Ogan, why don't you go ahead?
All right, this was on 6/17/2020, when I responded approximately 9:15 p.m. to the area of Tangerine Green and Copper Spring Trail, which falls within the jurisdiction of the Oro Valley Police Department. Upon arrival, I observed Ms. Perkovich with her vehicle. She had already contacted the tow company to remove the vehicle after it struck a barrier belonging to the town. I asked her a few questions. She explained that she was returning from work, or coming home from work, and that she had taken a wide turn and collided with the barrier. Given her statement and the evidence on the barrier, I cited her for ARS 2701 Adam to be granted a reasonable and true action of the law.
Ms. Perkovich, do you have questions for the officer regarding his testimony or about the facts of the case?
To the officer, no. I made the turn, and what happened was I thought I saw something in the road out of the corner of my eye, and I turned to the right slightly, and that's when I hit the barrier. So it wasn't like too much of a, it was still a wide turn off change or getting into the Copper Springs, but it wasn't basically a real wide turn. It was like I saw something that was to my left, and I kind of just adjusted a little bit, so I adjusted to turn.
Okay, so you, in essence, are testifying that you actually did hit the, well, I can't tell from your pictures. They look like landscaping posts along the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's,
to the right
it's, way. It's landscaping posts, and then the guardrail was attached to that. And
oh, okay.
So that what happened was, when I made that turn, and then I swerved a little bit to the right because I saw something on the left, it hit that, and the rail fell off. And it's kind of hard with the pictures in the dark to see, but basically the wood there was all, it's rotted, it's been there for, the copper creek's what, 30 years old? So it didn't take much, and I, when I turned it, I turned from a desktop off a tangerine. So my poor 2004 van could get up to 40 miles an hour in a half a block, much less, in that turn. And I think that if my airbag didn't go off at all, and I think what had happened was, and if you see on the picture, the one with the, that during the day, it's the place we took the car and had towed to. That's just about all there was of damage to my car. And I think I would have done a lot more damage to a plastic car if I was going 40 miles an hour. And I think I probably would have went through the lady's wall that lived on that corner there.
Okay, well, Ms. Perkovich, and we will admit, are you requesting that we admit defense exhibits B, C, and D?
Yeah, I have more pictures, but the thing is, for some reason, I e-called to talk to someone. We had a hard time trying to get the pictures off my cell phone, so we did the best we could with a little bit of time and whatever we could get on there.
Well,
but you can't really even see the lady's wall there.
Okay, well, here's...
Yeah, the thing is, I know I did it. I'm not saying that I didn't do it. I'm saying I wasn't going 40 miles an hour. With the damage that's on my car, there's no possible way. I was going maybe 12 to 15, maybe 18. But I think I would have, like, really damaged my car if I was going 40 miles an hour. And that's the only reason that I'm contesting this. I did this, I admit it.
Okay.
But I wasn't going 40 miles an hour.
Ms. Berkovich, if I could read you the statute under which you were cited, it is, in my humble opinion, one of the most poorly worded statutes in the entire Arizona Revised Statutes, but it came from the legislature, so you really can't expect much more.
Mm-hmm.
But what it says under 28701A is that persons shall not drive a vehicle on a highway to speed greater than is reasonable and prudent under the circumstances, conditions, and actual potential hazards than existing, period. Next sentence, this is the one that the officer is actually citing you for, is this sentence. A person shall control the speed of a vehicle as necessary to avoid colliding with any object, person, vehicle, or other conveyance on, entering, or adjacent to the highway in compliance with legal requirements and the duty of all persons to exercise reasonable care for the protection of others. So what he's actually citing you for is the accident. And the way the legislature has written it is a bit confusing to the public as a whole. And as I indicated before, it's inartfully worded. So, Officer Ogan, do you...
And the officer was wonderful. He was a very nice guy. He was like, he came and then like four or five other squad people was like, in case I was dying there, they were right there.
Okay. So, Officer Ogan, do you think the guardrail belongs to the town or to the Copper Creek Homeowners Association?
I talked to the traffic department, and he believes it belonged to the town. We actually called out Frank Road, and it was repaired by then.
Okay, so
yeah, and I didn't get any kind of bill or anything from them because my back, I called the insurance company, and I told them that, you know, the guardrail inside of Copper Creek. So I, then they wanted to know, you know, the Stratford management company and everything. And I gave her all that information, and I never heard back from the insurance company. So I didn't get a bill or anything for any kind of repairs.
Oh, well, no, you wouldn't have. Your insurance carrier probably would have, but let me just suggest something to you folks. The prosecutors, even on criminal charges, and Ms. Perkovich, please don't read anything into what I'm about to say, because it's not implying that you did anything. I'm just giving this example. But the prosecutor on a criminal charge of leaving the scene of an accident with a fixed object would usually simply dismiss the charge if the person is able to enter into a civil compromise, meaning that they pay for the damages and the other party agrees to accept it. Officer O'Gan, you have a problem with us, of me taking this under advisement, referring it to the town prosecutor's office and let them decide if they're willing to enter into the civil compromise to let her resolve this by paying for the damages.
No, I do not. That's fine, Your Honor.
Okay. So, Ms. Perkovich, do I have your permission to do that? I mean, the other option is I could find you responsible.
Which is cheaper?
Well, your insurance company should pay for the damage to the guardrail, and pretty much what you have to do is show the prosecutors that your insurance company actually paid for the guardrail, and they can check the public works, and Paul's people can tell them, yeah, we got the guardrail fixed, and this is what it cost, and the insurance company paid it, and then they can agree to dismiss it.
Ah, okay.
So it's a little bit of footwork on your part and the prosecutors, but then I wouldn't have to find you responsible for what's in essence a 3-point violation.
Oh my! Okay.
So does that work for you?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to get a hold of the insurance company, correct?
Yes, and find out if they paid for it, and find out to whom they paid the money. I mean, let's hope they didn't pay the management company when, in fact, it's the town's guardrail.
that figured out. Okay, find out if they paid for guardrail damage. And who they paid it to.
Yes.
Who they paid. Okay, so what do we do now?
Well, we will be sending an email, I'm going to guess, to, I don't know.
She gets that proof, she can email it to the court, send what she sent her exhibits to me.
Can you get me Joe Andrew's phone number? But we should probably go off the record for this.